Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Out of work and down. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. A few minutes past 3 p.m. Sweet 16 coming up at 4 p.m. with Skip Weber. Today we're doing the Sweet 16 of Best Fictional Detectives. Best Actual Detectives would have been kind of weird.
A bit hard to do.
Be hard to do.
It's tough.
No one would know anybody. I was just talking to a friend of mine, and they were saying something that I thought was pretty interesting. Like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh, man, trying to get through these multiple apps that I have to get through because my third grader has field day coming up, and I have to fill out a bunch of forms, and I have to tell them what their walk-up song is going to be, and I have to this, and I have to that, and I have to take a day off work, and X, Y, Z, and it's just such a pain in the ass. And we talk about things like this all the time, and I'm just wondering, like, is it an improvement? Like, in my day, we raced in sacks, and our parents didn't come, and we were happy with it. It just seems like everything is more of a to-do.
Yeah.
You mean like super serving the kids, kind of? Or do you mean the apps and stuff?
No, that's a great question, Rach. Who are we super serving when we do this stuff?
Well, I think ultimately the parents are super serving themselves. Because it's like, look what we did. The kid is going to have fun with whatever standard you set for them.
So true.
So, I mean, like the walk-up song, I don't think any child out there is going to be like, where's my walk-up song? But you created the option, and then, yeah, now you do it every year, and it becomes an expectation. They would still have fun without that, but the adults put that in place, yeah. So then it becomes a thing. What do you think, Wheels?
Making some noise over there.
Dude, this is probably going to make a lot of people not like me around the baseball fields, but the teams that bring their own speakers and do songs in between innings and walk-up songs for other kids really, really piss me off. They do it so loud that when I'm trying to talk to my players, I have to yell over the top of it. Like, if you're going to do those things, your field is one of 10 fields in that area or 6 fields or whatever. Your kid's fun doesn't trump everyone else's ability to play and be coached and be taught. Like, let's be reasonable. If you're going to do it, let's do it so people on your field can hear it and not the entire stinking complex out at Chesterfield or wherever else.
You think
else.
There'd be rules about that?
Apparently there aren't, because there are times we just have to like look over and go, can you guys just turn it down a little bit? Like, I'm literally trying to talk and I can't because they're going to play songs between every inning and it's going to be, you know, full ass song and it's 4 or 5 minutes. Like, come on, guys, have some respect for everybody around you. And if you're the only field around, have fun. Do what you got. Do what you want to do. If both teams are cool with it, do it. But my God, have some courtesy for the people that are around you.
It reminds me of, I've talked about this on the show many times, but when I was a kid, if I was going to Target with my mom, like, there was literally zero chance I was walking out of Target with a toy because it wasn't my birthday. I didn't just get all straight A's on my report card. It wasn't Christmas. Like, I didn't just receive toys out of the blue or like receive a gift just for being good at the store.
Yeah.
But I hear it all the time when I'm shopping. It's like, we can get that if you stop whining. And it's like, okay, if that's what you guys want to do, great. But the few times I did receive like a special surprise gift, I remember those and it was a big deal to me. I feel like a lot of parenting now, because these things are like so cheap and accessible, it's like, okay, yeah, what was the Barbie? $7. Sure, throw the $7 Barbie in the cart. We can get it. That's all well and good, but doesn't it feel less special than whenever it's time to get something like big? I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, I don't have kids, so I don't really understand exactly what's going on. I just see a lot of like, we've got to give the kids the best time possible. I feel like kids are going to have fun with what you give them. I'm not saying deprive them, but sometimes it's just like, did you really put on like the super elaborate birthday party for the kid, or did you do it for you so you could take a picture and show everyone the work you put into it? Like, did the child actually have that much more fun, or was it more for you? I don't know. Yeah. I just question those things.
Yeah. Andrew, Have you given any consideration to taking your yo-yo skills on the road and doing kids' birthday parties?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's leaving this place.
Have you booked any parties yet?
Yeah, I got a couple in the works. You know, I put the, I opened the business this morning at about 11:30 or so. So I've only had, you know, a couple dozen applicants thus far. But
yeah, I heard Fred Bottomer telling someone that he booked you.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'm going to be playing Fred's
seventieth
birthday
party.
That was brave.
Dang.
Yeah.
70th.
So he's booking you for like 10 years down the road.
20th?
Fred's 70th
birthday party? I don't know. 20th. How old do you guys think
it's
he is?
20. He's been here 30 years, but it's his 20th birthday.
Me not good at numbers.
I'm 40 years.
Not great
That's
with
right.
ages.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a yo-yo man.
Yeah, he's been here 40 years, and he probably, you know, he's probably like a drifter riding the rails until he was 30.
In his khakis and perfectly pressed shirts.
And then turned up to work at KMOX for a ham sandwich. And then he stayed on.
He agreed to paint the outside of the KMOX studio, but they liked the cut of his gym.
That's why to this day his nickname is Ham Sandwich.
Yeah. He was cooking a can of beans over a burning shoe.
Robert Hyland said, I like the sound of your voice.
I like the cut of this man's gym.
That guy has a hell of a Rolodex. We need to get him in here.
Everything was in that big briefcase of his.
Come on in here, Ham Sandwich. We got a job for you.
Yeah, Fred's basically like Yellowstone. He's someone branded him years ago. KMOX. He can't leave.
Yeah, I know.
He's just going to be here.
He's just stuck here forever.
Chris and Amy had a guest on, could be 2 weeks ago, and I texted Amy and said, oh my gosh, great segment, and I wanted to talk about it since, and this gentleman was a psychologist, but he was not a therapist. He was not a practitioner. He doesn't see patients. He deals with data, and he was giving us the national data, and I found it incredibly sobering. I hope I don't get these wrong. If Amy's listening, maybe she'll correct me if I do, but he said that 50% of Americans are on, he just called them psych drugs. And 30% of college students are now on psych drugs, which is up from 10% just a few years ago. So it's gone from 10% of the population in college, which I think most of us would go, yeah, that sounds about right, to a full third, and it's growing every year. And his supposition was, I'm not talking about any individual kid or any individual person out there, but he said, I just don't think there's any way that half the population are mentally ill that they need drugs, nor do I think that 30% of the college population are mentally ill enough that they need drugs. So I think the only thing that it can be is we are diagnosing everyday life as being a mental illness. And that kind of stopped me in my tracks.
That is interesting. I also wonder if a lifestyle change would help just as much as medication could. Because everyday life, as we were discussing last hour, or maybe, yeah, last hour, it is different now. Like, we are inundated with so much more. We take in so much information. If you feel that you're experiencing anxiety and depression because of those sort of things, there are lifestyle adjustments that you can make that are going to be a really big first step towards feeling better. For some folks, you might want to keep going down that path and decide to take medication, because I firmly believe, like, if it's really going to help you, like, please take it. Like, please. But I also do kind of side-eye that 30%. That is a huge number. And I think there are probably holistic ways to address these problems that we're all experiencing before we jump to a pill.
I haven't looked into this. That's why I'm just asking this as a question. Did we just self-medicate before?
Probably more so. Maybe not more so than we do now.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I don't know
but
how.
I think we always have.
I don't know how that works. I mean, because you hear the stories about, you know, Mother's Little Helper from, what was that, the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like this is a new phenomenon. We have different ways of treating things. We have different, more specific things that we're treating, right? The variation is greater. It's not like one thing for everything or two things for everything. But did we drink more to kill all of that scariness or whatever? Or, I mean, like, I don't know what rates of alcoholism are now compared to 20 years ago or 30 years ago when we were looking at these, basically this pre-treatment period. But I think that would be the worthy part of looking into this is like, does it change the number of people with bad outcomes? Does it change whether or not people are abusing alcohol or other drugs compared to, you know, modern times? I don't have the answer just asking that question, because there have been problems forever. People have always had mental illnesses or problems or difficulties or anxiety or whatever. And before they were a thing that was diagnosed and treated specifically, people just did it themselves.
Well, it's understandable why people my age down to Rachel's age could be feeling mentally ill and in need of a pill or a shot or something, because we remember life before we felt this way.
Right, right.
And we remember life before you were inundated with as much information in one day as people a few hundred years ago received in months. Of course you're going to feel like that. Like, I just don't feel like myself anymore, and I worry about everything, and I'm just constantly, you know, jacked up and XYZ. You don't need to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist to go, well, it could be this, mm-hmm. You know? Could just be the change in your life, like you said.
Yeah, I'm not really trying to argue against the main point either. I just think for all of us to have a good take on it, that would be helpful information to say, again, how does the rate of alcoholism compared now to what it was during the times when we were less medicated?
And how much more often were people spending time outdoors?
Sure.
I mean, we are a much more isolated society now than we were even 5 years ago. We talk about it all the time. Oh, we don't go to the movie theater anymore. We don't go to concerts anymore. It's just, I'm so comfortable in my home. Mm-hmm. And on one level, that is great. On another level, you're missing out on this enrichment that the generations before us mm-hmm. got to share. Those third places, yeah. That fellowship, a sense of belonging, that can really contribute to a deterioration in mental health if you're not like getting your bucket filled in that way.
Right. So I found a graph from alcohol.org. So it's all information about alcohol and alcoholism. And this chart only goes back to 2004, but in 2004, people ages 18 to 25, 17.6% were alcohol dependent or abusers. And that same age group now is 10.8% as of four or five years ago. That's a pretty big drop in what was a 13 year period. Again, I don't know. It's a little bit less of a drop for ages 26 to 34. It's an even smaller decrease, 35 to 49. The biggest decrease was in people between in their teens, where if you go back to the early 2000s, 6% of teens were abusing and or dependent on alcohol, and that is now down to 1.9%. Hmm. And now that's as of like 2018, 2019. So again, that's not a really current chart.
Check out the numbers on cannabis. I wonder if it's right. Just been replaced.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's all of these variable factors that come together to say, yeah, I don't know that the suggestion, I don't think, is we are more mentally ill. We treat things differently now, where in the past you'd find your own way of dealing with it one way or the other. And sometimes it just meant putting up with it and living that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone reacts to psychotropic drugs differently. I've tried three different antidepressants and only stuck with one, Lexapro, for like 3 years, and I stopped it, so it clearly wasn't working miracles for me. But yeah, Phoebe's 21 now, and she can do what she wants to do, and fortunately, you know, she still comes to her mom and I for advice and things like that. But yeah, I would be, advise her to slow her roll if she were going to go on a psychotropic, you know, but I certainly wouldn't tell her not to. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just like saying words. Yeah, just saying words.
I want to push back a little bit on Wheels saying that we're not more mentally ill now, because young people are definitely more mentally ill.
Well, no, we're hyper aware of it now. That doesn't mean that it didn't exist before. We just didn't call it that. or we didn't do anything about it, or there was no... What we are definitely is more open to the information being out there and people being okay with saying, I need help.
But there's so many more lifestyle stressors on young people that exist today that didn't even exist when I was a kid. So, I'm just unwilling to be like, it's always been the same. Kids have always been this depressed and this anxious and had, like, I look at maybe the way a young lady could possibly be struggling with body image now versus even when I was a teenager. And the pressure was high then, too. But it's like a thousand times worse now.
In a big public high school. With 1,000 kids there, your experience might be a lot different than it was even from the same time period.
I don't recall being super depressed or
I don't mean depressed. I mean, like, you're dealing with those stresses.
I was dealing with stresses.
I speak from my own experience. I was very sheltered as a kid. I didn't get any of that because I had a class of 20 people in grade school and a relatively small Catholic high school.
I didn't see any of the stuff that my friends did.
So I'll speak as the public school. I mean, my graduating class had like 800 people in it. And I didn't feel a lot of the stuff that, like, you're describing. Like, I felt stresses for sure, but I didn't feel, like, horribly anxious or super, super depressed.
And I think a lot of that is born out of, and let's stick to young ladies because that's what I originally brought up. I didn't have to face an Instagram filter that made my face look completely different when I was 13 or when I was 7. And that's when everyone's telling you, oh, this is what's pretty. This is what's desirable. When you are a young woman, that is what equals your value. That, I mean, whether or not you're taught otherwise, like, that's usually what it comes down to is, like, being pretty is super important. Being deemed attractive means you're worthy. Not in actuality, but that's how we're socialized. And I'm just saying the onslaught of, like, new beauty standards that I have noticed even in just the past 5 or 10 years is crazy. So it's not surprising to me that young women would be struggling more now than they have in the past. It's a different landscape now.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really late, but I remember in 2001-ish doing a little rant where I talked about how it's so unfair, like models, you go out and find the most genetically gifted people in the world, and then you starve them to make them skinny, and then you spray tan them, then you put on makeup, then you use filters on your phone, and you create models, and we're all supposed to compare ourselves to that. That's nothing compared to today.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, with filters and AI.
Well, it's like expected that you're going to alter your appearance
right.
in some way.
Right.
It is expected.
And now we have young men cracking their cheekbones and, yeah, just kind of nuts. Well-
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS coming back after the bottom of the hour. Dave Murray's going to be with us. I think we have some potential severe weather tonight and tomorrow. Pabst is ending production of Schlitz, which began as a Milwaukee tavern brewery and was once America's largest brewer.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
That's interesting. I was watching the Grant's Farm episode of Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was very entertaining, and I believe they had a little placard or something about Schlitz beer that someone was getting evaluated. Sorry, this is a bad story. Bad story.
The end.
And
the story
sure
ends
check
there.
Check it out. I'm not even 100% sure that was the right episode. Rock him to the dawn.
GGS on KMOX 3:35. Time to talk to Dave Murray. Brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Desk. Hey, Dave.
Hello there.
So, obviously, very rainy and gloomy here today, but I'm a little confused. I try to keep up with the weather, as you know. I feel like there's the possibility of severe for like the next 48 hours or so.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, these are elevated storms. That's why we're not seeing like 3-4 inches of rain, but there is a flash flood watch in effect until Tuesday afternoon early. But, you know, these are not super severe. They're heavy rainmakers. That's really the biggest thing. I don't see a lot tonight as far as severe weather. We're waiting for a cold front to come through. And that front probably doesn't come through until tomorrow night. There will be another batch. What's happening right now is lifting up to the north, but there's still going to be rain around this evening. There's a lot of graduations going on this evening. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I think we get into a break, let's say mid-evening, maybe late mid-evening, and then another batch of storms coming in towards morning, rain and storms, and then another batch with the cold front tomorrow afternoon. That's probably the one that I'm more concerned about, is with the cold front tomorrow afternoon. Okay. Not for everybody, but there will be some strong storms around.
Okay. And when you say cold front, does it take us back to like the 70s for a while?
Yeah, it actually takes us into the 60s on Wednesday. The northwest wind comes in tomorrow night. Storms will end, but probably not until late. But we're talking 69 for the high on Wednesday, partly sunny skies, 73 on Thursday, and then some more rain and thunderstorms coming in Friday and Friday night. And I know you want to know the news. That two pieces of news. First of all, summer forecast is this Wednesday.
Nice.
Got to get that out.
Yes.
And colonoscopy went just fine.
Hey.
Yeah, there you go.
Fantastic.
Let go.
Did you see any funny stuff coming out of the anesthesia?
Yeah, you know, you're only under for, I guess, about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and that's about it.
Doesn't stop me from saying goofy things when I'm out.
I was startled. I was just startled. I was starting to come out of it, and the nurse said, all right, you're all done. And I was like, what? Really? That's it? That's it? That's done?
I need to schedule mine. I need to stop procrastinating. Just get it done.
Yep. Get it done. You know, it. I lost about 5 pounds in the prep.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I took enough stuff yesterday, all day yesterday, to clean out an elephant.
Did you, Dave, I heard they changed it. When I did it 10 years ago, it was just one round of it. But now I hear you have to do it in the afternoon and again, like in the middle of the night.
Well, what I did was, first of all, it's not prescription anymore. It's like Miralax and Dulcolax. But it's incredible dose. I started at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and they wanted me kind of done with it by 6 o'clock Sunday night.
Okay.
So that your system kind of runs through it, calms it down. And, I mean, you look in the toilet all the time. It's like, okay, what do you look like now? What do you look like now? The toughest thing yesterday, besides the prep, was walking the dogs. It's like, how do I schedule this?
Yeah.
Short walks.
If they tell me all I need is Dulcolax to clean me out, I'm going to be like, you don't know who you're talking to. I took 10 on the way here, so
yeah.
Take it easy.
Well, but so to everybody out there, do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Most preventable.
The surgery center I went to, 4 doctors involved. They're doing 48 of them today.
Damn.
That gives you an idea.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not really a big deal.
Nope. Yeah.
It's a mental thing more than anything else.
Headlines, Rach?
Yeah. A new study finds that a positive attitude may help you live longer. So participants in the study that showed consistent improvements in like controlling their attitude, having a more positive outlook psychologically, showed consistent improvements in cardiovascular risk factors and health behaviors after just 8 to 12 weeks.
Well, that explained my dad.
Was he happy-go-lucky?
I wouldn't call him happy-go-lucky, but he never really let things get to him too much.
That's nice.
When he did, you didn't want to be in his path. But he doesn't let that happen too often.
Dave, I am not your father.
All right, Andrew, get ready. 2 Americans have been busted in a stunt at the home of baby monkey Punch.
What?
So these two idiots hopped a fence and dropped into a dry moat around the exhibit housing Punch. And social media images show a person in a smiley emoji mask and a blue suit holding a stuffed toy dressed the same. and it freaked all the monkeys out. The attire appears to be a mascot that's associated with a cryptocurrency social media account. So they did it all for publicity. But yeah, these two Americans violated the rules of the zoo and frightened punched the monkey.
Would you guys like to know how stupid I am?
Sure.
For a brief moment. Not brief enough. When she said that they invaded the home of Punch the Monkey, I was like, Punch has her own house?
Just the enclosure.
So what happens when you turn one as a monkey? Get your own little cottage. Yeah.
They got into Punch's estate?
Can I say something that'll make people say on the stream, you need to do your research, but I'm going to say it anyway. I hate crypto.
Yes.
I literally traded crypto for 2 weeks about 4 years ago, made about $10,000, cashed out. It was fun. It was exciting. I understand that all money, whether it's the United States dollar or puka shells from 50,000 years ago, is all made up. You know, the day that we stop agreeing that this piece of paper or this piece of metal means something, it all goes in the crapper. But there's just something especially insidious. If you're making money at it, go with God, wear what you dig. I hope you're happy. But there's something that's so very 2026 about a completely made up monetary system. You feel me at all?
Well, yeah, like you said, all money is made up, but real money is backed by power, by people and agencies and governments with the authority to say this has value. We accept it and we will back it so that if you have this little piece of paper, you can buy these things here because they cost that amount. If nobody is giving it authority, how does it have real sustainable value that can't just be taken away?
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. FIFA is making bank off of the World Cup, but the host cities are paying for most of it. Just something that a lot of these host cities are complaining about because local governments are the ones left paying for security, transportation upgrades, stadium tweaks, fan zones. And a lot of times they don't have a realistic way to earn that money back. New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill posted online that FIFA is going to cost New Jersey Transit at least $48 million and says that FIFA should cover the cost of transporting its fans.
Unfortunately, everybody that agreed to make these deals did so on these terms. This is what the Olympics do, too, by the way. Like, these costs are not going to be covered by the sporting events. And the Super Bowl's the same way. And I'm sure the way the NFL draft moves, right, it's the same way. It's like, yeah, we'll give it to you, but you got to cover all the expenses. And what people want is, I guess, the attention. They want people to come to their city and say, I'll go back there. Really? I mean, everybody signs up for this. The reason that FIFA makes as much money as they do, and it's not just FIFA. Again, the Olympics, every major sport does basically the same thing.
So the era of plus-size fashion may be coming to an end. Vogue Business reviewed 182 recent fashion shows, and they found that nearly 98% of runway looks were worn by models in roughly the U.S. size 0 to 4 range.
Hmm.
And we've seen a lot more discourse lately about these frail celebrity bodies. The rise of GLP-1 drugs is helping fuel what people are saying is skinniness, being back on top and winning again. So the body positivity can only last for so long. We're going back to super skinny, apparently.
Speaking of body positivity, Rage, as usual, I was ahead of the game.
Sure.
Remember last week when somehow my shirt fell open?
Yes.
And I showed everyone my chest.
Oh yeah.
Cleavage, male cleavage is the new big thing in fashion. Everyone showing their chest on the runway. Everyone showing their chest at
my time to shine
at these parties. I wouldn't call it male cleavage. That's kind of
it's a weird term.
Yeah. I guess it is.
Yeah.
You need a push-up bra for cleavage.
Right. Yeah.
Shirts off for all of us tomorrow.
I'm about to be the most popular kid on the playground.
Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 352 on the dot. Cardinal Report is sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings experience at Westport. So, Wheels, we talked about the tarps off, guys. We talked about how much fun this weekend was. Talked about how we won another series. X's and O's baseball. Did we learn anything this series? Did anyone take a step forward? Did anyone take a step back?
I don't think anything was new. I think it was more of what we talked about with Bernie. Like, the pitching just continues to get better and better as the season goes along. I mean, ever since his first two bad starts, Dustin May has been unbelievable. I mean, he's been reliable every single time out. The first two were ugly. I mean, there's just no easy way to get around that. I mean, you know, when you look at the early starts, he gave up 6 runs in 4 innings and 7 runs in 3 innings. So on the year, he's given up, let's see, I'm doing the math now, that half of the runs he's allowed happened in the first 2 outings. And since then, we're talking about 7 outings. So he's done a much better job, you know, and that's kind of continuing. And McGreevy has been unbelievable in the month of May. Palante has been holding it together and actually improving as they go. So I think, like, X's and O's, the biggest upward arrow is the pitching, and that includes some of the bullpen too. You know, some of the guys that were struggling down there have leveled off and gotten a little bit better. Offensively, it's still a little hit or miss, but Walker's been killing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had his little down stretch end of April, early May, but he's back to being the guy that he was to start the year. So
is JJ in a slump?
Yeah. I think that's just the normal, you know, Major League Baseball is difficult, and a lot of rookies will get off to a good start and then they come back to earth. Other times they start badly and then pick it up, right? But it's very unusual for a rookie to be like 6 months of the same guy the whole time. That's pretty hard to do.
What sort of issues, good and bad, will the return of Newt Barr bring?
Well, I mean, it's probably going to be a bad thing for Victor Scott. Unless he just starts turning it around, right? I mean, he's playing well defensively, but not as well in the past. We talked about this on Friday, Bernie and Matt Pauly and I. You know, defensively, he's still good. He's still above average, but he's not what he was last year. And if you're not going to be an elite defender and you're not hitting, I mean, that's really the hard part. Like, Newt's going to play. He's not coming up here to be a fourth outfielder. Like, when he's back, he's going to play. Because it's the only way you're going to be able to trade him if you want to, or to add production to the middle of the lineup. I mean, he's got some pop, and he's a good on-base guy. So, you know, you probably have 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to kind of figure out what's going to happen in the outfield. Now, Nathan Church hasn't been killing it in the month of May, but he's been way better than Victor Scott's been. And I think that's going to be the hard decision, is who stays, and then in what role do they stay in?
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.